All right, man, we are back. Look at that, 2 weeks in a row. We're trying to make this like hella consistent. We are back. We're ready in the month of April. This weekend, filled with fights, press conferences taking place. So lots to discuss. We're going to narrow it down, man. You know, just talk about this crazy world of boxing, man. So it was good. It was good. Coltrane.
Big news out of Cuba this week.
Yo, Cuba is now going to allow their fighters to fight professionally. You know, it's we talked offline as far as just, you know, my take on that, but it's crazy, man. It's crazy. We've seen some great Cuban fighters in our era now. I mean, we could talk about the era before and the era before that.
Right, right.
But, you know, the difference here is, you know, these are fighters still living in Cuba.
Right.
And, you know, we'll see how that materializes. But crazy news. I mean, regardless, crazy news, man. Like, that's just – I mean, because we regard Cuban fighters to the point of the one, you know, like, whether you're Lara, the Gamboas, and even the heavyweights now, you know, Luis Ortiz and these guys.
Right, right, yeah. Andy Cruz is already a top five lightweight, and he has no professional fights yet.
Listen, remember the name Andy Cruz. Okay, yeah. Has 4 wins over Keyshawn. So just as a frame of reference,
right?
But yeah, man, look, we got a lot this weekend. You know, again, we were talking about. From April all the way to the beginning of June, we got fights just galore, man. World title fights, fighters coming back, as we're going to talk about tonight. You know, I guess we should go in a pecking order, right? As far as timelines or time frames of when certain fights are going to start. And this is, I guess, going to be kind of the segue. But listen, man, one of the fighters that we have not seen in quite a while is that of, as when this fight takes place for us Saturday morning in Japan, Saturday night, Gennady Triple G drama show Golovkin will have turned 40 years old by the time he steps in the ring against Ryota Murata, which is being like not even talked about, but like this is a middleweight unification, IBF and WBA, that's taking place in Japan. And for you East Coasters, if you want to wake up, or you got kids, we're having you're up off GP.
Or if you're coming from the club, or coming
home from the club. Word, the bar.
Seriously, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, the card itself starts at 9, no, I'm sorry, 5 a.m. Eastern time. And then I'm thinking the main event starts at, like, 8 a.m., let's just say, for, you know. But that's what we're that's what we have. As concerns Triple G and Ryota Murata. Now, look, beyond that, this is obviously the dress rehearsal for Gennady Golovkin. So let me ask you, like, with everything I just said, he's going to turn 40 years old. He's traveling to Japan. Hasn't fought since with December 2020. And just as a frame of reference too, Murata hasn't fought in almost like 2.5 years himself.
Right.
What kind of Golovkin are you expecting Saturday morning?
we just had this discussion about how boxing retired fighters, you know, versus
right.
fighters retiring from boxing. I think at some point Triple G is going to be retired from boxing because, you know, we had kind of had this conversation about Bud as well. Like, certain guys' style, because it's offensive friendly, you wonder, like, how long can they go with it? You know, he's 40. Allegedly, he could be 40 plus. We don't even really know if he's 40. Because, you know, these guys, they come to the States, late bloomers, you know, they just, you know, maybe he off at eight, a year or two. But anyway, we know he's in his 40s, no matter how you slice it. Murata, like you said, is coming off a 2-year layoff. I got to believe that Triple G is going to, I mean, that everything's kind of set up for him. Like, I mean, no disrespect to Murata, but I just think even a shell of himself, Triple G, should be able to get this off. Now, the question is going to be how he looks, because he didn't look that great his last fight. And if you read between the lines, what's been putting out there, you know, from Canelo and his team, is like, you know, if Triple G lose, you know, if he doesn't look X, Y, and Z, then we're going to move on. So I can't see them selling a paper. I know I'm jumping ahead here, but I can't see them setting up a pay-per-view fight with Triple G for a third fight. Even his most loyal diehard fans, and I know Styles mean fights and all that, but if he looks like a old fighter, then I think that even if he wins, I think the fight's off the table. But I think he will win on Sunday, but I don't know. I just don't – I got the sense that it's going to be an ugly fight.
Yeah, man. I mean, I can see we've seen fighters fight past 40. Okay, like certain exceptions to the rule, but his fighting style doesn't permit, you know, there being a lot of like wiggle room for him to be that effective. And again, time off. There's just certain things. And man, like, doesn't he look older?
Well, he looks like he looks like a grandfather. He had his
remember he was rocking the J's and he was really right.
He had a little swag
going on, right?
He got the grandfather,
yo, you know, man, like
making a Walmart run look.
But I mean, I'm kind of expecting the same. I mean, I'm expecting him to win.
Right.
It's just a question of what kind of Triple G are we really expecting, you know? Because if you think about it, since the second Canelo fight, he showed vulnerabilities going there, but he still was a menacing fighter. But since that fight, man, he hasn't been anywhere near as active, number one, and hasn't been as dominant, man. And then you go to that Derevyanchenko fight that you could argue he might have lost.
Yeah, right. I was getting ready to say, you know, we go back to that fight. One could argue that, you know, I mean, he won, but it could have went the other direction as well.
Right. So that's Saturday the good thing morning.
But Peep Game, no. If he looked bad, at least a lot of people won't see it, because there's no way, especially when the East goes. You know, I'll you know, because, you know, we just degenerates. I'll probably be up watching. But most
people, right, yeah.
That's just call it for what it is. You know, most people be up that time of the morning, you know, no matter what side of the coast you live on in America.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So Saturday morning, you know, tune in with DAZN. You know, you have DAZN and wherever in the world you are, you know, however you watch it. But that's, it's Saturday. Then I guess to stick to DAZN, and I guess to stick to the topic of fighters coming back, we're going to see the return of Ryan Garcia. And this is almost like a 14-month layoff. His last fight, I think, was it Luke Campbell? Yeah.
Yeah, Luke Campbell. Yeah. Because he had the health stuff and, you know, whatever else was going on. So.
Yeah. You know, he was dealing with mental illness and, you know, but then beyond that, there was the whole switching of trainers, and he left Eddie Reynoso and Canelo, and they've been back and forth. You know, you've seen that on social media, and he aligned himself with Joe Goosen, you know, which kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, interesting matchup, like collabo, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we're very familiar with Joe Goosen.
Very familiar.
We go back to Chico.
He just don't strike me as a guy that meshes well with millennial boxers, but, you know.
Right? Yo, that's funny you mentioned that.
Yeah, right? You know, he's kind of like, he has that dry, he has a very dry delivery, but brutally honest, and I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying it's not going to work. It's just his style, you know, the way his delivery, not his boxing techniques and training, but interesting.
They haven't the guy had a lot fighting, of time.
Though, is like 33 years old and, you know, hasn't fought anybody that's of any relevancy, so.
Yeah.
Got one loss, you know, he's bounced around into some weight classes, you know, so.
Yeah, you know, they did the whole little press conference and the outside, you know, the little media workout where they were kind of like butting heads and stuff. But I think for Ryan Garcia, man, it's he's we talk about the lightweight division, and there's a lot of pieces.
A lot of moving parts down there.
And yeah, and what's happening now is we're starting to see the board shift. And we're gonna see an undisputed lightweight champion.
Whoever
But
wins this fight is in, will be in control for sure
yeah.
between Haney and Kambosos.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Ryan Garcia has been since the whole thing happened with him leaving Canelo and Eddie Reynoso, and he's trying to prove a point in some way that as at least it seems that like he's trying to say like he deserves the focal point of attention, and he's like the star, you know. But a lot of us are kind of in the same boat of like, all right, well, you got past Luke Campbell, Emmanuel Togo. He should win this fight, but it's. You start to wonder, man, like what the trajectory is for Ryan Garcia. But it's like we got to get past this fight first
Yeah,
because
because his style is so, I don't want to call it reckless, but it's a fan friendly offensive style. You know, he's a knock. I mean, listen, the kid got a vicious left hook. Like,
he does.
I know people forget sometimes because he's, you know, selling all types of products. He got like what 10 million followers. Like he's an influencer when he's not boxing, but he's actually really a boxer, unlike those other guys. The
Yeah.
twin, the brother, not twin, the brothers, you know, but he's actually really a fighter. And, you know, he comes with flaws. You know, his head is up in the sky and on the swivel a lot. That's why he gets caught for overhand shots. But, you know, he got some good attributes to his fight game
He
that's very
does.
fan pleasing. And I feel like if I'm a fighter, especially if you, speaking of wanting to be on your own two feet, Javante, that's the guy I want to fight. Like from a business aspect, and then like you know sorting all this stuff out. Ryan Garcia, like you said, got to get past this fight. That to me, like he probably would draw. He's the biggest probably draw over here in America. You know, at that weight class, you know by far. I think that if he fought in L.A., probably I'd say Los Angeles or Vegas. That's probably the biggest fight. Not named Javante versus Haney or Kambosos. That fight does great business, and it's the
You
biggest
talking
fight.
about Tank and Ryan Garcia?
It needs to
Oh.
happen after both of these fights. That should be the only fight that matters in that division is those two.
What's interesting is, and I guess we'll get to Tank in a minute, but yeah, like you could argue stateside that commercially would be a bigger fight than either of them fight.
That's what I'm saying. Like we talk about like the algorithms of Instagram and all the social media stuff. Like that dude has like a big following, and he has a following outside of boxing. When you if you go and look at his stuff, and occasionally look at the comments on his posts, there's people in there that don't know that he's really a fighter, which is hilarious to me. But
I
they don't
know.
know because he's always doing other stuff, you know. So those people that got like bring those type of fans. It's big business. That's why I like
Yeah.
if you're we're gonna get to Javante like said in a minute, but you gotta be frustrated. Like, man, this is a guy that I can be a guy that I can make a lot of money off of. I think that between the trash talking and you know the different fan base, because Javante got a totally different fan base from
Yeah.
Ryan Garcia, so it's just like a perfect clash.
Yeah, man. I mean, you think it's a very rare situation where a fight that would have no titles on the line
Right.
would be like the biggest commercial fight that
Right.
you could make in and around that division.
It's like a
I
social
mean,
media
and that's
battle.
like only in boxing could that really happen, you know? But
Want to touch on something you said to Roberto because we had this conversation online about fighters kind of wanting to, you know, pave their own path. You know, like You brought up Ryan Garcia talking about him. I don't know all what happened. I don't know what took place. But I think what I'm noticing is, like, what a lot of these young guys is, they don't want to be attached to anything but their own name. Like, you look at Shaquille. I just watched – that was a great interview, by the way, with Shaquille. I recommend everybody check that out.
Oh, yeah.
Ghetto Boys podcast. Like, Shakur, basically, you hear how confident, like, he's not hitching his name to nobody. You know, Devin Haney, same thing. You know, Ryan Garcia with Canelo. I know people get upset and, like, they want them to, you know, be in these guys' camps. But just like Canelo came up on his own, and I'm not saying you can't learn from other fighters, but if you look at the history of boxing, most guys did it on their own 2 feet. You know, it's just – If you want to write your own legacy, it can't be attached to nobody else's legacy. That's in any sport, but specifically this one.
No, that's a good point, man. That's a good point. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not a team sport in the sense that you're like, and we've seen this where, like, they collab with different training teams and fighters and stuff, and, you know, at least from us, man. You had the team was the fighter and right. The trainers. And
that's it. Like, it ain't no. This you don't is my need.
Group. Yeah.
Just like Spence said, he would fight Jermell Charlo. Like, at the end of the day, it's and a dude. Somebody wrote on a page was like, why he's calling out his friend? Like, yo, this is prize fighting. It's they not. I don't even know if they really. But that's beside the point. Like, at the end of the day, it's business. Like, you know, it's not. I really want to fight him. It's just if he's in my way, for me to accomplish my goal, then he gets ran over.
I guess it's the individual too, man, because there's some people that would just be like, let's do it. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll have to tackle that if that even becomes a situation. But that's – yeah, that's – I don't know, man. That's
I just like the mindset of these young fighters. Like, I know they – I just think they're all – everybody, like you said, you brought up a good point, and I think this comes up with Floyd a lot. Like, separate the two individuals. We all love Floyd as a fighter, but you can't be a fan of a promotion company. Sports don't work that way. Like, you don't
like record label.
Right. You don't say, Pat Riley, I'm a Pat – like, no, you root for the team or the player. Like, you don't –
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't got a Pat Riley jersey – like, that's not how, like, people get so caught up with Floyd. Like, no, like, it's you root for the fighter and the individual,
yeah.
The promoter, if the buck stops there. Like, it's just insane to me, like, how people, like you said, they make, this isn't team sports. This is an individual sport. No teammate.
At the end of the day, absolutely. But that's on DAZN, so DAZN has... They have a – oh, and then on the undercard, Shane Jr. and Gabe Rosado are fighting.
I didn't even know Shane's son was still fighting. Yeah. That's crazy.
They're fighting.
He stay busy.
Yeah, he's had a couple of losses, man. I mean, he's not like his pops, but, I mean, he's looks a lot like him, man. That's like he literally spit him out. Like, that's just nuts.
But Gabe stays busy. You know, always put on a good show.
He's fun. When you look at his resume, starting from when he fought Triple G, he's fought a lot of people, man.
Yeah. Right.
Showtime. This fight I'm very interested in.
Very interested in.
A lot of y'all
hate on it for some reason. I don't know why. Like, I think this is intriguing.
Very intriguing fight, man. Very intriguing. This is. I mean, I have a tough time seeing this fight go 12 rounds.
Stop.
But a lot of y'all have seen him. Sebastian Fundora, the uber tall junior middleweight. Not cruiserweight, not light heavyweight, junior middleweight.
What did he, 6'5"? Like six, I call it 6'7". That's insane.
Something like that.
He's taller than D Wade. Like, it's crazy.
D Wade like 6'4", 6'5", right. Close. But yeah,
Kobe was 6'6".
Yeah. But just a very uber tall, very busy junior middleweight fighting Erickson Lubin, who has been, who had one setback and has been making his way back since that setback. And I have to say, man, this is, like, to your point, I'm very intrigued with this fight because there's going to be a lot of punches thrown in this
And look, let's keep it a buck. Like, look, I don't, like, a couple of people was hitting me on a page, and I'm like, they was like, oh, man, like, you know, he got exposed in the last couple, some of Fedora's, like, he got exposed the last couple fights. And I'm like, all right, that may be true, but he is a highly off, his offensive output is extremely high.
Yeah.
Lubin is an ultra aggressive, like, Lubin can box, but he gets impatient. Gets impatient, and his chin is not always in the proper place, and he's chinny. People are like, well, he got knocked out by Charlo, who's just strong. No, but he was just rocked by what's my man name that just fought Costa Zoo.
Yeah.
Short, what's his name again?
I forget. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
My man that just fought Costa Zoo had him out on his feet late in that fight. Now Lubin weathered the storm, but I'm like, to me, it's there. It just It takes the right situation to be exploited again.
Yeah. Rosario. Was it that? That's who it was?
No, not Rosario. It was Lubin
fighting. Terrell.
I forget his name.
Yeah, Gachet. Yeah, okay.
The one that just fought
Costa. He caught him, and he was, yeah.
He's about to do that dance. He's about to do that dance. He got caught because I'm telling you, his style, like, he's a really good fighter.
Yeah.
But he's impatient at times.
And he gets suckered into fights. Yeah.
He gets suckered into situations. You know, his temperament gets, you know, like, I'm not saying it. You know, I'm actually picking him to win the fight, actually. You know,
yeah.
Full disclosure here. I'm just saying that it's going to be interesting, though.
Because, yeah, Fedora throws a lot.
Awkward, long, throws a lot of punches.
Gets hit.
Get hit a lot, but it seems like he's durable.
Now, Lubin's the biggest puncher he's ever faced, though.
No question.
That could be kind of like a dial turner, you know? I guess we got to see, man, because we've seen Fedora hit a lot more, but, yeah, to your point, it looks more durable. But Lubin's fought some of the better guys already.
Oh, yeah, Lubin. Right, stellar. Yeah.
So, but this is interesting, man. This is an interesting fight. And on the undercard, speaking of press conferences, Tony Harrison, man. he's going to be on the undercard. He's fighting Sergio Garcia, but there was a little scuffle that happened at the press conference with Luis Arias, who I think he's a super middleweight now.
Oh, that's what happened. Because I caught like him and the crowd swinging punches.
They were mouthing off, and then Tony Harrison literally just got up.
But Tony Harrison wasn't trying to connect. The boxing is funny, right? Because you and I know a lot of it's window dressing, you know. He wanted somebody to get in the middle, because not that he don't want it. It's just that he's got to eat with the hands, and God forbid he break his hand and lose his purse on Saturday. Some of that is like, you know, he just, as what they call it, peacocking. You know, he had his chest out and showing off the crowd, and because I watched it, I said he wasn't really trying to connect nothing with that.
that's money down the toilet.
Yeah, but it was funny though. He did lose his temper, but. Oh, yeah. I didn't know what happened when Trigger didn't even come down there.
Yeah. No, that was just funny. Everybody stood there like. But
he's another guy that kind of went, like, after the Charlo loss, like, went into the abyss. Like, I know his dad, his father had passed away.
Yeah. I mean,
but he. Just like weird, like, you know, you look at some of these guys and they had like one loss and then they don't see him, you know.
Yeah, I mean, in general, I mean, what's crazy is in the second fight, you could argue he was probably performing better.
He was winning the fight, got careless. He did, you know what, though? I did watch that fight again, like, not too long ago. He got caught with some body shots that I missed the first time I watched it, and it was slow. But even with that being said, had he just, what we always say about admiring your own work, would it get you in trouble every time? You know, had he just boxed, see, I just funny speaking of the Shakur interview, and he told you remember he talked about, because Willie D asked him, what happens if you catch him? He's like, well, if you catch me, I guarantee you won't hit me again. Like, because then I'm basically, we're going to decode it and talk boxing speak. I'm getting on my bike and right. I'm gonna do whatever I got to take, like, not to put myself in harm's way. Like, yeah. That's what, you know, he was supposed to do when he fought Charlo.
Yeah, man. I mean, that whole situation was interesting, man, because it's like you would. A lot of people were thinking like, oh, Charlo's just gonna come in back and dominate. And listen, he's in the same predicament yet again, coming up against Castanho. So yep. We'll see if he goes 2-0. You know,
seems to be a trend like that. You know, they get these knockouts when they fight these complex guys.
Let's see, man. That's gonna be crazy. Before we wrap up, man. I mean, one of the other, I guess, the press conferences that, or maybe there was a couple press conferences.
Right, right. But with this one in particular.
So you know. May 28th. We're going to see. This is gonna be the first fight back at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, and it's going to see the return of Gervonta Tank Davis and. Him facing the guy he's supposed to fight in December, Rolly Romero.
The Rolly Show.
Who is really becoming a character overnight. You know, the whole, you know. That
if he, you know, he's like a little Mayorga, you know, but he's going to have to get some big wins, though. Because Mayorga got big wins to match all that stuff, you know.
Mean, listen, yeah. We found out about Mayorga stopping Vernon Forrest.
Yes.
Just stopped Shane Mosley, you know, right. So it's like.
60 and Lewis prior to that to pick up the one of the belts. I forget. Remember,
yeah.
He was being promoted at that time by HBO to be, you know, mm-hmm. that one of those next guys.
Right. And Rolly is, like he started at 17. I think they found him in the gym or something. And
he admitted that he doesn't know how to really box, but he's awkward. He's, I mean, you got to respect that.
No, he's being 100. And, being, you know, and again, he's selling the fight. And
of course, yeah.
And you know, they had the whole press conference and, you know, they squared off and listen, man, like I guess we'll talk about pay-per-view numbers and everything, whatever. But I mean, I think at the very least, the opposing side, they're going to, he's going to try to make it as entertaining as possible. But there's a reason why Tank's like a 4-1, 5-1 favorite or something like that. So.
There's a reason why he's upset.
Is what it is.
There's a reason also why he's upset. He's fighting. He seems really disinterested in fighting this Rolly Romero. Okay.
Now listen, man. I mean, I think for anybody, like, I don't think he should go to sleep at the wheel. I don't think he will. I really see like a big spectacular knockout in this fight. To be honest with you,
how could you not? Like, it's a straight, you know what I mean?
It's, yo, like, not to compare Tank to Mike, right? But I have the feeling it's one of those deals where it's like, don't go to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
One of the side stories though. That's been going on for the past couple of, you know, there's been these rumblings that Tank is, again, whether he's unhappy, he has one fight left with Floyd, he's disgruntled, and the fact that we're so fine, well, number one, he wasn't at the press conference today, meaning Floyd.
So why wasn't he at the press conference?
He was in Dubai promoting his helipad fight exhibition against, I forgot who it is. I think this guy that trained out of his gym, if I'm not mistaken. But
yeah.
And Tank put out a tweet, and I think it got deleted.
Yeah, it did. But
basically calling Floyd out, like, hey, man, like, yo. Yeah, well, you're richer than me, but you're jealous. Something along those lines. But needless to say, man, like,
didn't say his name, but it was a cryptic tweet that
very. Now, we talked offline too, as far as how much of this is legitimate and how much of this is, like, you term like WWE.
Right, no doubt.
You know, like, is there legitimacy to, now, I did make mention to you that with the interview, well, when he was talking to the media, and they were asking him about, you know, well, about positioning himself to, you know, fight whether it's Kambosos or Haney, one of these guys. I mean, like, he's really pushing the envelope about being, like, they got to fight me. And then when they start talking money, like, he was, like, pointing his head to, like, Leonard Ellerby, like, well, you got to talk to him. So I'll ask you, man, like, after this fight, okay, and this is a very tangled web, but, like, what do you think is legitimately going to happen as it concerns where Tank is going to take his talents to?
All right, so I'm going to give you a loaded answer, but I'm going to try to be brief about it. Any professional, whatever professional you're in, you're judged on a curve, right? Shakur Stevenson unifying this division. Devin Haney, undisputed. Like, for the first time in a very long time, we might have two undisputed champions, you know, at 135 and up at 147.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of, like, and even though he don't fight at 47, there's still somewhat his colleagues and his peers. You see all this stuff happening and transpire, just like when Bud was with Top Rank and he saw all this. Kind of a little similar situation was going on with Bud and Bob Ingram. When he fought the Green Machine, Bud was upset, said he wanted to fight X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in that fight? He didn't look so great, you know, because his eyes, like you said, wasn't on the prize. He fell asleep at the wheel because he got caught up worrying about other stuff that he had no control on. Gervonta wants to be in that. He can talk when, and I always make the parallel, when a guy gets upset, you play ball on the court. The guy, whoever basketball it is, he takes his ball and go home. You know that old saying, he took his ball and go home. Now nobody else can have no fun. So when Gervonta brings up, oh, I'm making more money, that's him taking his ball, leaving the playground, basically. Because ain't no way.
That's a good parallel. It's
always been about money and legacy. The guy that you're signed to made more money than anybody, but it was always about legacy, you know, first and foremost. So Gervonta, at the end of the day, because you're talking out of both sides of your mouth, you know, and I understand he's frustrated. When you hurt, you want other people to hurt. So when he says that he want to fight the best and he don't want to fight Rolly Romero, but then you saying, well, I'm making money. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth. Like, you're speaking in one language, talking about you want to make all this money. And in another language, I don't want to fight this guy because I want to fight better competition. So he's upset, and I get it. He's frustrated. I just think at the end of the day, his contract is up. Like, that's no fluff. Like, he has a contract. How that's going to go. He needs to make a decision what's best for his career. You know, I always bring up Earl Spence, Shakur Stevenson, Devin Haney. All these guys were tied to Floyd Mayweather, with the exception of Shakur Stevenson a little bit. But those other two guys was, you know, Devin came up in Floyd's gym. Floyd was the first person to ever introduce the world to Earl Spence, like, far as, like, putting a stamp on his name, basically. None of those guys signed with Floyd, though. Why? I don't know. You know, you have to ask those guys. But going back to that legacy talk, maybe those guys didn't sign with Floyd because Floyd is somewhat still relevant as a celebrity. And people, like, I want my own lane, going back to that discussion. So Gervonta needs to – this is a fork in the moment, rather than W, whatever, because – we can do WWE all we want, but at the end of the day, you'll be 28 years old. Shakur and Ben Mitchell, and speaking of Shakur, Oscar Valdez was a fight Gervonta could have had a couple years ago.
Yeah, we talked about that, man.
You know what I'm saying? So, why guys, and these guys are 4 years his junior. They're younger than him. That's not, even though him and Devin, how old is Devin Haney? He's not that old, I know. He started young.
23 or 20, something like that.
They're young. Because Devin just turned pro very early. So he's been in the game kind of just almost long as Tank has. So that throws things off. But they're way younger than him. And in the next year or two, they're going to accomplish more. Again, what happens is fans get so caught up because some of these guys you can't have conversations with because they so attached to Floyd, they can't see like the conversation, you know, about Javonte and the legacy piece. I'll pass it back to you, but at the end of the day, every fighter, Bud had to, he can learn, from, Bud is a learning experience. And I'm not telling him that he should leave Floyd and all that, but a conversation definitely got to be had. Like, listen, I need these fights. So we got, if we can't make these fights happen, then I'm going to have to pack my bags and be on my merry way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's he's really at, it's tough to say crossroads. I mean, I think if he lost this fight, there'd be like major, and to your point, man, if he fell asleep at the wheel in a fight like this, that he thinks he's going to just take Rolly out and Rolly land something. And then it's just like, now, mind you, Tank could take a punch, man, because like he landed some stuff on him, man, and like he took it. You know, so I think the whole chin situation, like with Rolly, like even in the Marina's fight, man, like that's just ridiculous. Like, how did they like give him that fight? It was just
He flat out lost. He was outboxed thoroughly in that fight.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like you nailed it earlier. You had said this to me earlier that it's kind of the deal where he's using the idea that he's making more money and so what you know what they're doing, but at the end of the day, man, the pressure is really on him at this point to fight in those fights because it's going to legitimize him, you know, beating top level guys for world championships. Because unless you like are not like a hardcore fan, he's being painted as a three-time world champion, but I mean, we get how the belt systems are. But he has an opportunity right now to not only fight for, let's just say, all the belts, but again, against your contemporaries that are top level. And I think that just makes him a bigger star, and the money will be there, you know? Yeah. Funny enough, what Floyd did, you know what I'm saying? Floyd ended up making more money, but man, look at the track record he had. You know what I'm saying? Like, but we'll see, man. I mean, I'm still on the fence. You mentioned a lot of things too offline, like that. They're just, it's a tangled web, man. It's thinking factors, Al Heyman.
Listen, Javonte put this on the table. So when he say he's making X, Y, and Z, he the one that came out. This all.
That is true.
He lit the grenade when he said, I don't want to fight this dude. They're making me fight him because my contract. Basically saying, they're making me fight him because he's under the same promotional banner that I'm under, so that's why they're making me fight him. Like, I feel y'all, and basically what he was saying, I feel y'all too. I don't want to fight this dude. So I'm like, okay, I respect, you know, but you can't, like, keep walking stuff back and say, you know. Yeah. That's why you don't do that stuff through the media too, though, you know. That's why you
don't. Yeah, man. But that's kind of the thing too, man. I mean, I think the media at the same time, that's going to be something that just keeps coming up because the simple fact is Gervonta Davis and Devin Haney are fighting for the legitimacy of the lightweight title.
That bothers him.
I'm sorry. Yeah, man, I agree. Yo, that has that to.
Like Theo bothered, and he fought Cambosis. You see him flying off at the handle because all them dudes, and it's a shame that Theo let his emotions get the best of him because that could have been your rematch. Like, you know, y'all could have worked something out. And I'm sorry, I'm squeezing down on 35 again. One more fight for a payday. You know, I mean, and you never know what can happen, you know. But what happens with these guys is like they let the emotions get the best of them. You gotta have, you know, somebody in the camp gotta pull you back and say, hold, like, let's think this thing through before we make any irrational decisions. And listen, props to Devin Haney for sliding in a lane that nobody else slid in. You know, it was a lot of blame for anybody.
Yeah, man. And like we said last week, man, like he's going to be on a bigger network in the biggest fight of his career. Like,
yeah. Mad commercial. And listen, no disrespect to the zone, but half of the time, you don't even know when they fight because they don't promote them like that here. Maybe they do in Europe, but.
This joint's going to be on ESPN. And we have to get corrected. It's going to be a Saturday night.
Oh,
for us. For us.
So once again, American public wins again.
Something like that, yeah. Like we're it's gonna, yeah, yeah. Somebody wrote in the comments, and I was like, oh, all right, word.
Yeah, the time zone is it's like a whole. It's almost, if I'm not mistaken, they almost like a whole day ahead of us.
My pops is in Hong Kong. It's,
you know, so, Hong Kong is, you know,
it's the same time frame. Yeah. So they're, I think they're going to be fighting. If I'm not. If my time serves me correct, Sunday morning, it could be like they're fighting Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, something along those lines. We'll get back to
it, bro. It's the American TV network. It's the American dollar, man. Like the they know them ratings going to be crazy here.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of people from Australia living in America too. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. That's true. That is true.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where, but they throughout the country. You know, they're, you know.
I mean, it's a big fight on the biggest sports network still in the United States, at least.
Right. Yeah.
So
it's crazy, man. But
Man. I mean, I think we covered all the fights, man. This is, like I said, this month is the beginning of just every week there's fights. And then next week, you know, we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
next
week, you know,
the return of Errol Spence and, you know, against your Dennis Ugas, another unification fight. All of us got our eyes glued to it. We're hoping somebody's in the crowd. And, you know. And, you know, we'll touch base with that at the end of the month. You touched on Shakur Stevenson against Oscar Valdez. We'll be watching that. And then the month after that, you know, the Canelo show.
Before we close out, though, I just wanted to give, you know, like some major, major respect and props to Rigondeaux, who really, bro, to be honest with you, like, he probably was the best Cuban fighter, like, I can't go back to the Kid Gavilan and all those guys from back then, but in this modern day generation, like, by far none. Like, he, to me, kind of solidified the modern day Cuban style in America. Like, there's been nothing like him, and it's a shame because he was avoided for so long, and it's not to take anything away from Lomachenko. By the time that fight materialized, we don't know how old Rigondeaux is, you know. You and I, you know, you being of Cuban descent, you said, listen, he could be a lot older than when he portrayed him.
like, you know? Like the barbershop talking. He's 75 years old.
Right. You know, so it's just a shame that we know who he is as boxing fans, but I felt like he should have been a lot bigger than what he was, you know, but he put the program on the mat in the modern, because those guys due to circumstance, couldn't come over here. You know, and remember, he never would talk about it. Remember, they would say, how did you get here? He's like, no, I can't, you know, we can't get into that right now. You know, but we all know that, you know.
It's very, that's a very tangled web too, man, as far as just, you know, that whole story.
Yeah.
And even how Gamboa got here too, man, and Laura too.
Ugas talked about it. You know, he was the first one I heard really going to death, give you a whole, you know, breakdown and everything, you know. But
yeah, man,
I just hope, man. Like, you brought up a great point. I just hope them dudes get their fair shake, because although I want to see them perform here, rightfully so, but at the end of the day, man, I want to make, they should be taken care of. Like, it should be no slave wages type situation, you know?
Yeah, man. I mean, that's, we talked offline, man. That's kind of the unfortunate side. I mean, that it's, on one end, what I'm happy about is that if it's a deal where somebody like Andy Cruz gets the kind of exposure to, you know, to a broader audience.
Right.
For the sake of him not being lost. Because listen, man, here's the sad part. For every Gamboa, Rigondeaux, Lara's, like, think of all the other fighters that we missed anyway. It's like, I go back to, like, my family has a lot of ties to Cuban baseball. My great-grandfather, they played in the Cuban national teams. And when you see all the players that never went to major leagues that could have played there and would have been,
right, you know,
think of boxing and all the fighters, let's just say from 1962 all the way to now, and the fact that we've only got what we got in the span of damn near 50 something years is crazy. And look at how good those fighters were. And there's crazy. A dozen more that were around.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So
we'll see, man. Hopefully, like I said, it all works out. But I think Boston will be in a lot better place if these guys are now, you know, in the fold. So
it's a different school over there, man. It's a different school.
The blend that Soviet style mixed with the Cuban, like, you know, that on one.
It's crazy. So, but yeah, man, that's pretty much it, man. Yo, all these shows are on Spotify. So if you're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, they're all up on there. GYGB War Report. You know, I know everybody's doing the whole gym joint, you know, putting the earbuds in and this. I do that too, man. Like,
no, me too. Music, I thought I was listening to podcasts more than music sometimes.
Yeah, man. It is what it is. So, but yeah, we'll be back next week, man. Follow us, you know, with the gram at Guard You Go Boxing, Facebook, you know, at GYG Boxing. Yeah, man. Then next week we'll be covering Jerry's World.
that fight is like a gateway into a kingdom. You know, like in a movie, you got to.
And you know, this one particular person has been cryptically quiet.
Yes. Man, we talked about that.
Yeah, man.
We talked about that. I still, listen, still not off the table. We'll talk. We'll get more into it next week. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So, any case, man, we are out. Peace.